Rejoicing at the safe return of Smike, Nicholas Nickleby meets up with his dear old friend, John Browdie, whom he has not set eyes upon since those unhappy days in Yorkshire, to thank him for his part in Smike's escape.
My good fellow, if it had not been for your kindness of heart, I do not know what might have become of me in those days in Yorkshire.
Oh, talk about something else and do not bother.
Very well, then. For I also want to thank you for the way you helped poor Smike escape Mr. Squeers' clutches.
Ah, it were nothing. How is the little lad?
Very well, thanks to you. But I hope Mr. Squeers does not suspect your hand in Smike's escape.
No, not a bit. There I lay, snug in the schoolmaster's bed long after it were dark, and nobody came nigh the place. Well, thinks I, he's got a pretty good start, and if he bain't home by now, he never will be. So you may come as quick as you like.
And did he?
Aye, presently he did come. I heard the door shut downstairs, and him walking up in the dark. He comes to the door, turns the key, not knowing there weren't nothing to hold the lock.
And what did he say?
He says, "Hello there." And I thinks, "Yes, you may do that again and not waken anybody, sir." "Hello there," says the schoolmaster again. And then, "Thou better not aggravate me, or I'll break every bone in your body, Smike." Then all of a sudden, he sings out for a light. And when it comes, God, such a hurly-burly.
He must have been furious.
That he was. He was stark mad with vengeance. So, I tells him I heard a person run down there. And we set off together.
The wrong way. Did you go far?
Oh, I run him clean off his legs in quarter of an hour. To see old schoolmaster without his hat, skimming along up to his knees in mud and water, tumbling over fences and rolling into ditches and bawling out like mad. I thought I should have dropped down and killed myself. We're laughing. Ooh, he's a bad un. A very bad un is the schoolmaster.
Is his daughter, Miss Squeers, stopping with you?
Aye, poor lass. She's Tilly's bridesmaid, and a queer bridesmaid she be too. Won't be a bride in no hurry, I reckon. The groom will be a blessed man. He'll be in luck, he will.
Indeed he will.
Oh, she had a fond eye for you, Mr. Nickleby, if I remember right.
I am very obliged to her, but upon my word, I never aspired to making any impression upon her virgin heart.
Why, she told our Tilly you as good as proposed to
what?
Her.
What? Fanny? No, I would never have...
Why, Fanny, what do you do here?
Listening at the door by the looks of things.
Yes, I was, and I heard everything you said, and it's all lies. As if I would be engaged to an assassinating thief that shed the gore of my pa. Well, do you think that I could be fond of such dirt beneath my feet as I couldn't condescend to touch with kitchen tongs without blacking and crocking myself by the very touch? Do you?
Come now,
I
Fanny.
I would hope your opinion of me could not be quite so low as that.
Oh, it is. Be assured it is. There is only one person who is more lowly than your loathsomeness, and that is my previous friend, Tilda Browdie.
Oh, don't say such things, Fanny. You know you two always fight and then make it up again as soon.
Oh, no, not this time. It's too late. So, this is the end, is it? This is the end of all my forbearance and friendship for that double-faced viper. Mermaid!
Miss Squeers spits out this final word triumphantly as if it quite clinches the business.
This is the end of all my bearing with her deceitfulness, her lowness, her falseness, her laying herself out to catch the admiration of vulgar minds in a way which made me blush for my
gender.
No, thank you. Blush for my
gender.
Yes, gender.
Calm down, Fanny, and don't talk nonsense.
You, Mr. Browdie, I pity. I have no feeling for you, sir, but one of unliquidated pity.
Oh, now, is that so?
It is. And although, by your way of it, I am a queer bridesmaid and shan't be a bride in a hurry, and although my husband will be in luck, I entertain no sentiments towards you, sir, but pity. I know what you've got to go through with her upstairs, that Tilda.
And if you was my bitterest and deadliest enemy, I could wish you nothing worse. Except, perhaps, being married to Mr. Nickleby. But that wouldn't be... Well, that wouldn't be... Anyway, is this the end?
Stand it all. Say the out, Fanny. And make sure it is the end.
Thanking you for your advice, which was not required, Mr. Browdy. Have the goodness not to presume to meddle with my Christian name. And as for Tilda, I throw her off forever. I would not have a child named Tilda, not to save it from its grave.
Hey, God!
Miss Squeers, it is fated that listeners are never to hear any good of themselves. Mrs. Browdy has spoken loyally and well of you on many occasions.
Yeah. Ah. And all she told us was what you told her yourself.
I told her no such thing.
You know you did, Fanny.
Oh, don't you speak to me. My ear will not deign to hear your stupid coarse words.
Then why was it pressed to the door and listening to our conversation, eh?
To be sure, I don't know, considering as every word you say is a lie.
Oh, is that right?
Indeed it is. Every single word is a lie.
Why, Fanny, do you know... You look uncommonly pretty when you're angry.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's very kind of you, I'm sure. But, oh, wait. Oh, very witty indeed. You cruel, cruel animal.
Why? It is you that swears that I lie. I'll say I tell now, but the truth.
Well, you're... In that case, oh, don't confuse me, Mr. Browdy. You've given me an aching head now, and no amount of flattering will stop me telling my pa what you've done.
What's that? Giving you an aching head?
Yes, no, but it was you that held that runaway boy, that Mike.
Come now, Fanny, you don't need to tell your father about that, do you?
Oh, I most certainly do. He was our property, and not to be meddled with. First you rob us of him, and now he does the same. There ain't no good honest people left in the world, so it seems. But we shall have the boy back soon anyway, so never fear.
You will not, if I can help it.
No, nor I.
But what if the boy's father returns? Would you keep him from his own father?
No, of course not, but he has no father.
But if he did, then his father should have him. And he should do as he pleased with him. And he should send him back to us to do as we pleased with him.
I doubt it.
Oh, but he shall. And we shall have him forever and ever and ever, and you shan't be able to get him back again.
We shall see about that.
Yes, we shall see, won't we? Your uncle...
My uncle? Oh. What of him? What has he to do with this?
Nothing.
Answer me.
Nothing. Nothing at all. But we shall see who gets the boy. We shall see indeed.
Fanny Squeers leaves the room with as much dignity as she can muster. Mr. Browdy watches her leave, and then takes an exceedingly long drink of ale, wipes his mouth, and sighs.
Dash my wig. There's no ganging out tonight. We might as well start eating and drinking in earnest.
What is that devil Ralph Nickleby up to?
Nout at all. Don't trouble yourself, man. Come now, fill up. Be calm. The boy is saved.
And so Nicholas and John Browdy enjoy a most pleasurable and tranquil evening of food and drink and many hours of cheerful conversation until...
You, sir, are a scoundrel and a...
Why, what's all that noise? It's a fire, okay?
Nicholas and Mr. Browdy stride towards the door and head downstairs with all speed, where they find a group of people assembled round a young man standing in his stockings, with his slippers lying at no great distance from a prostrate figure in the opposite corner.
What's happened here?
It seems this young gentleman has kicked yonder gentleman into the corner and then flung his slippers about his ears afterwards for good measure.
Well, that was well done.
What is the cause of this, sir?
The young man in question retrieves his slippers and calmly replaces them on his feet.
The cause is this, sir. Yonder person, who lies now in a faint, chose to express himself in disrespectful and insolently familiar terms of a young lady whom I have the honour to know. I informed him most civilly that he was mistaken and asked him to forbear. As he left the room, he became still more offensive, and I could not refrain from facilitating his departure with a kick.
Indeed. Well, in your place, I would have done just the same. Indeed, I have done just the same, and I believe you have done right.
Aye, and I agree with him. With both of you.
I am much obliged for your advocacy of my cause. Here's my card. Perhaps you'll do me the favour to let me know where I can thank you.
Nicholas takes the card and reads it with total astonishment.
Mr. Frank Cheerable? Surely not the nephew of the Cheerable brothers, who is expected tomorrow.
And you, I see, are Mr. Nickleby, of whom I have heard so much. This is a most unexpected meeting.
Indeed it is.
Mr. Browdy invites Mr. Frank Cheerable to join them upstairs, where they spend the rest of the evening. Frank is a good-humoured, pleasant fellow, and he produces a most favourable impression upon Nicholas.
I had no idea the hour was so late. I must take my leave.
Indeed, I would have left some hours ago were I not afraid you would kick me through the door, as is your wont.
I see that my reputation is in tatters.
Far from it, Mr. Cheerable. And what's more, you have defended the good name of another. Both your reputation and hers remain happily intact.
Thanks to your support, Mr. Nickleby. I hope I can find a way of repaying you.
Well, I can think of an excellent way.
Name it.
I should be most grateful if you would join me and my family in our small cottage for some dinner, at your convenience.
That is most kind of you.
Not at all. I shall throw my slippers at your ears if you refuse.
Then I hastily accept.
And so, 2 days later, Frank and his uncles join the Nicklebys at the Nickleby Cottage. Frank spends the whole of the evening talking to Kate, and at the end of the evening, takes his leave very reluctantly.
A last goodbye, Miss Nickleby. It was such a pleasure to talk with you.
Why, you have bid adieu to my sister more than twice, Mr. Frank.
Have I? I do apologize, Miss Nickleby. Goodbye. Oh, and I've gone and done it again. Well, goodbye and goodbye and goodbye.
Goodbye.
And so a very merry evening draws to a close, and all go happily to their beds. Except one. There is one small figure who, in the silence of his own chamber, sinks upon his knees to pray as his first friend has taught him. And folding his hands and stretching them wildly in the air, Smike falls upon his face in a passion of bitter grief.